living the way of Christ, even though radically different than the world, builds a foundation that will withstand the storms and bring happiness. And the sermon starts with happiness. Blessed are those who are poor, etc. Now, this sermon itself is foundational, and it's obviously similar to the Sermon on the Mount from Matthew chapters 5 through 7, although Luke's version is a bit abbreviated. But it's core. It's Jesus teaching, here's what's important. Here's what I want you to get. Graduating seniors, the decisions that you make in the next year or two will set the tone for your next two or three decades, maybe the rest of your life. Now, I don't say that to put pressure on you or to tell you, you know, it's very nice to look at a group of graduating seniors and have confidence in the choices that you will make because you've been raised right. You have a good families, good church family, and so just keep on following Jesus, following his teaching. And for the rest of us, you know, if even we got off on the wrong foot when we were 18, or if we're still following the wrong path, we have the opportunity to change. We have that's one great thing about living in God's kingdom is we always have the opportunity to go back and work on our foundation. That's hard to do when you build a building, right? You need to get the foundation done first and right, because it's very difficult to go back and change the foundation. But we are blessed that in the kingdom of God, we have the opportunity to always go back and rebuild or restore what's needed. If you truly know Jesus and you seek to obey his teaching, you will find that you do not fit in well to the systems of this world. You will often find yourself feeling out of place or not accepted. In fact, simply being identified as a Christian may cause you to be rejected and persecuted. It may be very costly, especially if you venture out beyond your church bubble, right? But if you don't get out of your church bubble, you're not going to do the mission of the church. We have to go into the world. Now don't get high and mighty about being different than the world. It's not at all about us being above any other person. Do not consider yourself better than anyone else because you're Christian or because you go to church regularly. It says here in chapter 6, do not judge others. Do not be judgmental, always looking down your nose at other people. Do not be quick to condemn people and give up on them. When we give up on people, it is essentially confining them to hell in our mind. That's not our place. That is not our judgment to make. Do not believe everything you hear about people. Don't base your opinions on gossip, because you'll often get it wrong. And be careful about making your judgment on a person just because of one little thing you hear or even witness. That may not be the whole person. Would you want to be treated that way? One little mistake and people characterize your whole life by that. I often think, I am so grateful that you all don't know my teenage years, you know. Now, I wasn't a wild guy. but I wasn't very, you know, I'm not very proud of some of it. In John chapter 7, there's a report about when Jesus was being accused of violating the Sabbath law because he healed a man on the Sabbath. And there's a little bit where he's responding to that accusation there, and he's telling them, of course, how they should see the Sabbath. But the last sentence of that section says, "Stop judging by mere appearances, but instead judge correctly." Stop judging by mere appearances, but instead judge correctly. In fact, be generous. Be generous with everything that God gives you, especially His teaching, His truth. Do not hoard it to yourself, but instead broadcast it. People need to know. People need the good news about God coming to earth in person to live here and to die in our place so that we can have a relationship with Him and we can enjoy life now and eternally. Don't keep it to yourself. Be generous with it. Also, be generous with your possessions, your wealth. Are all these blessings not from God? Verse 38 says, "Give, and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you." That word picture illustrates the vast generosity of God's kingdom. Now, it relies on a practice in their day. Of course, they typically had these flowing type robes, and they would cinch it up in the middle with a belt or a sash. And there was a practice that if you needed to carry something loose, you could just kind of pull that up above the belt and make a pouch so that you could put your grain or your green beans or black-eyed peas in there, you know? I picture my grandmother holding her apron up, right? Filling it full of black-eyed peas and then sitting on the porch to shell the peas, snap the beans. And of course, when you do that and you sit down, it's right there in your lap, right? Well, that's what they would call that pouch when they pull up with their clothes. It was their lap. Now imagine a lady going to the market to buy some grain to make bread or something, and she's holding out her tunic or her cloak to receive the grain, and the seller of the grain has a can or a basket or something to measure that grain. And he fills it up to the top, and then he shakes it a little bit to let it settle, and he presses it down, and then he tops it off, and it's just overflowing. That's a picture of God's generosity. Go, be like that. And be careful who you choose to follow. Can the blind lead the blind? Be careful how you lead others. Can the blind lead the blind? You know, a student will not usually surpass the teacher. A disciple would be limited by the knowledge and the ability of the rabbi. An apprentice will learn only what the master is able to do and to teach. So be careful who you follow. And when it's your turn to lead or to teach, be sure to prepare yourself well so that you do not limit your students, your disciples, your children. In my imagination, and this is only in my imagination, but I can just see Jesus saying something like, of course he wasn't using English, and I don't speak Aramaic. But something in my mind is like, some of y'all act like you've got everything together. You act like you do everything right and you're always criticizing everybody else. You pick on other people's faults and you don't even notice your own shortcomings. It's like you were trying to pick a speck out of someone else's eye, but you've got a plank in your own eye. And you go around plank-eyed criticizing everyone. Be careful. Examine yourself first. I'll tell you how to discern good and bad. Look at the fruit of a person. What is their life and their work producing? A good tree produces good fruit. You do not pick apples from a mesquite tree. You do not pick grapes from a catclaw bush. The fruit of a person shows you what is in their heart. Good comes from a good heart. Evil comes from a corrupt heart. And if you pay attention, you will hear a person's heart spill out of their mouth. You will see a person's heart acted out in their choices. Good comes from a good heart. Evil comes from a corrupt heart. So be careful. Listen. Watch. Be discerning. By the way, what's coming out of your heart? How can we become the kind of people who produce good fruit? How can we be a tree that produces the right fruit? How can we be a good leader, a good teacher, a good parent, a good friend? How can you become generous in your attitudes toward people? Well, you need a good source. You need a good rabbi. Matthew 11 quotes Jesus, and I've used this a lot recently, I know. It just seems to apply so often. In Matthew 11, Jesus is quoted to say, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. My yoke is easy and my burden is light." He's inviting us. No matter our baggage, no matter our problems, he says, come. Come with me. Come along. And in this chapter in Luke 6, he says, hear my words and put them into practice. The last part of the Sermon on the Plain gives us another very memorable word picture. Some of us like to be known as Christians, but we are absolutely weak when the storms of life come. Some of us claim Jesus, but we crumble in the face of adversity. And we could go on with examples, but let's look at the end of Jesus' message and hear what he had to say from verse 46 on. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do what I say? As for everyone who comes to me and hears my words and puts them into practice, I will show you what they are like. They are like a man building a house who dug down deep and laid the foundation on rock. When a flood came, the torrent struck that house, but could not shake it because it was well built. But the one who hears my words and does not put them into practice is like a man who built a house on the ground without a foundation. The moment the torrent struck the house, it collapsed and its destruction was complete. So, on what are you building? Is your fruit good? Are you producing generosity and love? Are you able to live among damaged people without condemning them? Can you love your enemies? Can you love your neighbor? How about loving your family without looking down your nose at them and criticizing all they do? Can you be satisfied being poor? Are you able to find joy in the midst of sorrow? Can you stand up to persecution without going into a rage or hiding your head in the sand? Doesn't sound like worldly behavior. It's not. Do you need to work on your foundation? Do you need more Jesus? The real Jesus that we learn about from Scripture. None of us here have it all together. We long way from perfection. Some are further down the road than others, but we are all seeking the Master. Will you come and learn with us? Come along, he said. Come find out. Will you commit yourself to following Christ and obeying his teaching? Studying this kind of scripture it has to challenge your soul, and I just some days I get into it and I just think, man, I need to get out of the way and let somebody else lead this church. I want to teach the word. I want to see you build a firm foundation. I want to see you bear the right fruit. And I want to see you help other people produce good fruit. You know that's easier to do in community. It's easier to follow the teaching of Jesus when we do it in community, when we help each other along the way. And we call that community church. Church is where God's people gather and follow his teaching and carry out his commission to the world. And so, whether you're going to Fort Worth or Stephenville or College Station or Jackson, Mississippi, wherever we go, find a place where other Christians are trying and worshiping together and encouraging one another, spurring each other on toward love and good deeds, and get involved. submit to the teaching of Jesus and practice it. Build on a firm foundation. I want to ask you to do the scripture reading today. Before you go to bed tonight, go back and reread the Sermon on the Plain. Luke 6, starting from verse 20 on to the end of the chapter. It'll take you a few minutes. I haven't taken the time to read it to you this morning. But dearly trying to stay close to the text. So would you read it for yourself today? That's your homework. Some of you like a bonus. There's an old song called Bread on the Water. Now, as I was looking it up, I found there was another rock song by a similar name that I'm not telling you to go listen to. Not a bad song, but Bread on the Water I remember it being recorded in the 80s by a group called the Imperials. Some other people have recorded it, but it has that phrase in there, pressed down, shaken, overflowing, something like that. Anyway, that's your bonus homework for today. Submit to the teaching of Jesus and practice it. Let's pray.